I guess I'm hooked up. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I am excited and glad to be with you again.
Me too.
I didn't think your pastor would. Hey, thank God for Pastor Lou. Yeah, he and I, we prayed our way through seminary. Greek and Hebrew and all that. And we made it. Thank God. I just came to make you glad that you have Pastor Lou. it's just so wonderful. So wonderful. As we look at our land and the freedoms we have, I mean, it's just wonderful. And then it's on top of all of that, that we are Christians. And you could say all of that in heaven too. You know, and you're down by the shore too. I mean, so, you know, you got it going on. Everybody rushing down here, and you already here. So you just, so it's just so wonderful to be in the family of God. It's just so wonderful. People do not know and understand the family of God. It's amazing. Thank God for the worship team. You caused me really to worship. That God knows all the stars by name. Can you imagine? Every star, and he knows the hairs on our heads. Not one turns white or black without him knowing about it. You know, I'm losing, Bill, but but he knows all about it. He knows every one of us, and he knows all about us. He knows our brokenness, and he still loves us. Loves me. Okay, not you, but me. He knows all my brokenness, and he still loves me. We serve an amazing God. Amazing God. And his love is awesome. Awesome. I'd like to tell you a little story. You probably heard it before. It's about three little pigs. Oh, you heard it. You know the three little pigs, right? They all decided that they would strike out on their own and strike it rich. And the first little pig, he decided he would build his house with straw. Straw. I'll make my house quick and I'll make it rich quick. And of course, we have in this story the big bad wolf. So the big bad wolf comes and he sees this little house made out of straw. So he huffs and he puffs and he blows the house down. Second little pig made his house out of sticks. Here comes the wolf. Little pig is inside. The big bad wolf huffs, puffs, and he blows the house down. Third little pig, he decides, I'm going to take my time. I'm going to build my house out of bricks. Here comes the big bad wolf. He huffs and he puffs and he... Whoa! And the house is still standing. So he huffs and he puffs and he... Whoa! House still standing. So he decides, and you know, I got to make a deal with this little pig. And he makes a deal. He said, listen, little pig, I need to meet you at the apple orchard. Little pig said, I'll meet you. He said, I'll meet you at 6 o'clock in the morning. The pig said, okay. 5 o'clock, little pig went out came back. 6 o'clock came and the wolf came. No little pig. Came back. Little pig has already got his apples. And he said, I thought you were going to be at the apple orchard.
Yeah.
I said, 6 o'clock. Little pig said, I was there at 5. So in this narrative, we see the little pig was smarter than the wolf. And of course, you know, he made the big cauldron of water and little pig came, the wolf came down the chimney and, you know, the end of the wolf. As Christians, we are in a warfare. And we have to be smarter than the big bad. God has given us some weapons. And one of those weapons is prayer. We sang a song about prayer. And so prayer is one of the weapons that all of us have. You can pick up that phone at any time, any place, and you can call heaven. You don't get any static if you call the right number, J-E-S-U-S, you know, call the right number. Call on me and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. So now, Jesus is always listening to us and he's listening to you. But for some reason, we just don't pick up that phone and call. For some reason, when do you have prayer meeting here?
Tuesday
mornings and Wednesday nights. I don't have to tell you, right? Tuesday morning and Wednesday nights. It thins out, right? It thins out. I know it thins. Because in Philadelphia, we have ours on Thursday nights, and it thins out. We just do not use prayer as a weapon that God has given us. We don't use it. One of the most awesome weapons that the Christian can use is prayer. Somebody said, well, I don't know where'd he go? Oh, he's in the back. Oh, Bill. Yes, okay. He said, we need to pray more. We need to pray more for our land. We need to pray more for our leaders. We need to pray more. All of the upheavals we're having, volcanoes and earthquakes. When we hear about these things, that volcano that erupted in Hawaii, the lava was still flowing. And all the people could do is say, get out of the way. Because it's coming. We don't have anything to stop it. No steel, no rocks, no nothing. It's just coming. Move out. Down in Guadalajara, where down in Mexico, the Guatemala, that's it. Thank you. the volcano, I mean, it just erupted. Covered houses over. Now, I hope you're praying about when you hear about these catastrophes. I hope you're praying for these people. They need prayer. And I hope that their eyes would be open to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to get into our lesson for this morning, Isaiah chapter number 37. Isaiah 37 and verse, well, I want to start verse 18, I believe. Isaiah 37, start at verse 18. It is true, Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste all these people and their lands. They have thrown down their gods into the fire and destroyed them. For they were not gods, but only wood and stone, fashioned by human hands. Now, Lord, our God, deliver us from the hand, from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, Lord, are the only God. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent a message to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, because you have prayed, because you have prayed to me concerning Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word the Lord has spoken against him. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you to bless your word to each listening heart. In Jesus' name, amen. And I guess I should be clicking. Oh, there. All right. And so, this narrative takes place. And of course, Hezekiah is the son of Ahaz. This is the same Ahaz who, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, okay. Remember Isaiah 7, 14? Somebody quoted for me? Anybody? Isaiah 7, 14. Did I?
The Lord himself will give you a son.
Give you a son.
The virgin will conceive and give birth to mm-hmm. a son and will call him Emmanuel.
Yep.
He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings we dread will be laid waste. The Lord will bring on you and your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah.
Oh.
He will bring the king of
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. So there Isaiah gives Ahaz, Hezekiah's father, a prophecy. And this prophecy has to do with near and far, but, you know, near view, far view. Near view is probably Isaiah's wife. The word there, Amla, could be young woman or virgin in the strictest sense. But Isaiah said, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear not a girl, but a boy. And his name shall be called Emmanuel. So this is Ahaz's son. Ahaz was wicked. He did not. Well, he said, "Oh," and Isaiah said, "You know, the Lord is asking you to ask him to give you a sign." He said, "Oh, I won't trouble the Lord. I won't trouble the Lord. I won't trouble the Lord." He said, "You will trifle with men, but will you trifle with my God also? The Lord himself will give you a sign." So now this is Ahaz's son, Hezekiah. Hezekiah, although Ahaz was wicked, Hezekiah was good. So good until in Isaiah chapter 37, verse 37, verse 1. Then King Hezekiah heard this and tore his clothes. And verse 36. I mean, chapter 36, verse 1. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah. Oh, chapter 36, verse 1. Sennacherib, king of Assyria, attacked all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. Then the king of Assyria sent his field commander with a large army to Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. When the commander stopped at the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the Laundress Fields, Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, went out to him. The field commander said to them, "Tell Hezekiah, this is what the great king, the king of Assyria, says." And he goes on to tell him what the king of Assyria said. And he said, "Well, listen, don't speak to us in Hebrew. Speak to us in Assyrian." He said, "Oh, yeah." Well, his motive for speaking to Hezekiah was to bring about fear on the people. And he continued to speak to the people on the wall. He's down here, people on the wall, and he's speaking Hebrew. So now, as he speaks these words, he does send fear to Hezekiah. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, this king has 186,000 troops surrounding Jerusalem. Siege. So now, Hezekiah, he's feeling a little fearful. Not a little fearful, but great fear. Because starvation is going to come. And then, of course, Sennacherib is going to come and take all of the people away. And of course, Hezekiah will be killed. So Hezekiah, when he hears that Sennacherib, if you turn to, Kings, 2 Kings, this narrative is taken up in 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19. That's the thing about, it's just like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all tell the story of Jesus, just a little different, a little more, you get a little more and fuller. So that's the way it is with 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and of course, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, and of course, Isaiah. They all tell in the same stories, but you get a fuller picture. So 2 Kings, chapter 18. Yeah. Beginning with verse 13, I'm sorry. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, attacked all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. So Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent his message to the king of Assyria at Lachish. And this is what Hezekiah says: "I have done wrong. Withdraw from me, and I will pay whatever you demand of me." The king of Assyria exacted from Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. Now, if you don't know what a talent is, 300 talents of silver, that's about 11 tons. And 30 talents of gold, that's about 3 cubic tons of gold. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. So Hezekiah, this is what Hezekiah does. He said, "I have done wrong." The king of Assyria exacted from Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. So Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the temple of the Lord and in the treasuries of the royal palace. At this time, Hezekiah, king of Judah, stripped off the gold with which he had covered the doors and the doorposts of the temple of the Lord and gave it to the king of Assyria. The king of Assyria sent his supreme commander and chief officer and his commander with a large army from Lachish to King Hezekiah Jerusalem. They came up to Jerusalem and stopped at the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the washerman's field. And they called for the king and Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, the palace administrators. And so after he had given him all this gold and silver, he wants more. Because he senses now that Hezekiah is fearful, which is where he wanted Hezekiah. So Hezekiah now, what he does is he calls for prayer from not only Shebna and his other people and his entourage, but he also calls for the man who, of course, has often been responsible for Israel turning around, Isaiah. He says, tell Isaiah, and we're at Second Kings 18:13. Oh, I'm sorry. Second Kings 19:1-5. King Hezekiah heard this, and he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, went into the temple of the Lord, and sent Eliakim, the palace administrator, and Shebna, the secretary, the leading priest, wearing sackcloth, to the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz. They told him, this is what Hezekiah says. This day is a day of distress and rebuke and disgrace, as when children come to the moment of birth and there is no strength to deliver them. There is no strength to deliver them. This is the message that he sends to Isaiah in code. The woman is pregnant and there is no strength to deliver. Isaiah says to these men, may it be that the Lord your God will hear the words of all the field commander whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to ridicule the living God. That he will rebuke him for all his words that God has heard. Therefore, pray for the remnant that survives. When Hezekiah's officers came to Isaiah, Isaiah said to them, tell your master, this is what the Lord says, do not be afraid of what you have heard. Those words with which the underlings of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me, listen. When he hears a certain report, I will make him want to return to his own country, and there I will have him cut down with the sword. This is what Isaiah says to Hezekiah. Don't fear. Because God has everything under control. So now Hezekiah is, listen, once you get fearful, you're still fearful. The troops are still out there. They have cut down every nation. As a matter of fact, the northern kingdom was taken captive by Sennacherib some 14 years earlier. Hezekiah decided that he would stop paying Sennacherib tribute. Sennacherib is back standing in front of Hezekiah because he had the gall to stand up to him. And when he surrounded him, he gave him all the gold, all the silver. Now Sennacherib wants more. I want your wives, I want your children, I want all of your soldiers. He says, as a matter of fact, I have 2,000 horses. Do you have 2,000 men to put on 2,000 horses? So he sends to Isaiah, he says, listen, woman has come to bear and there is no strength to bring forth. Isaiah goes back with this word. Do not be afraid. That's a great word. Do not be afraid. Well, see, he should have went to Isaiah first and not last. He should have went to Isaiah first and not last. Because it is God who keeps Israel. It is God who never sleeps. It is God who watches over Israel. And so now here is Isaiah. And he sends this message, do not fear. And that's a message for all of us. That's a message for all of us as Christians. You know, there's terror all over, you know, terror in New York, terror in Washington, D.C., terror. But God says to us, do not fear. Do not fear. Why? Because I am with you. So now Hezekiah is still being fearful. Sennacherib sends a letter. He says, listen, says to Hezekiah, king of Judah, do not let the God you depend on deceive you when he says Jerusalem will not be given into the hands of the king of Assyria. Again, he's boding with more fear for Hezekiah. Don't let Hezekiah think, make you trust in his God. What God is there that has stopped me from conquering their nations? Surely you have heard that what the king of Assyria has done to all the countries, destroying them completely, and will you be delivered? Did the gods of the other nations that were destroyed by my predecessors deliver them? The gods of Gozan, Haran, Rezbah, and the people of Eden who were in Tel Azar? Where is the king of Hamath? Where is the king of Arpad? Where are the kings of Lir and Sabaoth, Hena and Iva? So Hezekiah takes this letter from the messenger's hands. He goes to the temple. He goes to the church, if you will. And spreads it out before the Lord. Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. This is what he says. He says, Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubims. Now, God knows where he's enthroned. But Isaiah has reminded himself of where God is enthroned. He says, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made the heavens and the earth. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Listen to the words of Sennacherib. He is set to ridicule the living God. It is true, Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste to these nations and their lands. They have thrown down their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone, fashioned by human hands. Now, Lord, our God, deliver us from his hands so that the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone are God. That you alone are God. This is what we must do as Christians. When you are fearful, don't go to your generals and your commanders, but go to the Lord. Go to the Lord first and foremost. Because as Hezekiah prays, God sends back this message. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I have heard your prayer. This is, I'm still in 2 Kings chapter 19. This is what the Lord, and this is verse 20. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I have heard your prayer concerning Sennacherib, king of Assyria. This is the word the Lord has spoken against him. Virgin daughter of Zion despises you and mocks you. Daughter Jerusalem tosses her head as you flee. Now, listen. Sennacherib was this. He was the king of the world, if you will. He had conquered the northern kingdom, which was twice as large as the southern kingdom. And now he's back to take the southern kingdom. And God says to this king who has mocked him, the virgin daughter of Zion despises you. Daughter of Jerusalem, she tosses her head at you. Wow. It's like God is. Who is it you have ridicule and blaspheme? Against whom have you raised your voice? Lift up your eyes and lift up your eyes and cry against the Holy One of Israel. Now Sennacherib is thinking that the God of Jerusalem, the God of Israel, is no God at all, because he's conquered all these nations surrounding Jerusalem and Israel. And he says, by your messengers, you have ridiculed the Lord. You have said, with my many chariots, I have ascended the heights of the mountains, the utmost heights of Lebanon. I have cut down its tallest cedars, choices of its junipers. I have reached the remotest parts, the finest of its forests. I have dug wells in the foreign lands and drunk the water there. The soles of my feet have dried up all the streams. Have you not heard long ago? I ordained it in the days of old. I planned it. Now I have brought it to pass. You have turned fortified cities into piles of stone. Their peoples drained the power, are dismayed and put to shame. They are like plants in the fields. And of course, he goes on. I won't read all this to you, but he goes on. And then he says, listen, therefore, this is what the Lord says concerning the king of Assyria. He will not enter this city, nor shoot an arrow here. He will not come before it with a shield or build a siege ramp against it. By the way he came is the same way he will return. He will not enter this city, declares the Lord. I will defend this city and save it for my sake and for the sake of David, my servant. That night, one angel, went out and put to death 185,000 Assyrian troops. When the people got up the next morning, they were all dead bodies. So Sennacherib, who couldn't carry 10 talents of silver and 3 talents of gold back to Assyria, he had to leave it in the field with all the 185,000 dead bodies. Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew and returned to Nineveh. You remember Nineveh and Jonah and all that. Okay. Returned to Nineveh and stayed there. One day while he was worshiping in the temple of his god, Moloch, his sons, Adrammelech and Shazar, killed him with the sword, and they escaped to the land of Ararat. And Eshadron, his son, succeeded him as king. God keeps his promises. Don't be afraid. Because God is, when God is on your side, but when you're on God's side, he will defend himself. He will defend himself. And we need, I don't know what kind of problem you may have, or it may be financial, it may be physical, it may be familial, problems in the family, problems on the job. God, we serve a God who is able. He's able to do all things. When you you may be hanging by one hair. God, when God says something to you that you will not die, that you will live, when he says to you that I will protect you, that when on your job they may be coming at you, listen, when God says I will protect you, you can count on God. You can count on God. He will protect you. He will protect you. He will deliver you. He will give you confidence in the midst of your sickness. He delivered Moses and the Israelites from Pharaoh and got them across the Red Sea, dry shod. He delivered Lot from Sodom because Abraham dared to pray. He delivered Joshua and the Hebrew children from the fiery walls, of Jericho. He delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace because they dared to trust their God. He delivered Jehoshaphat from Moab and Ammon because he prayed. He delivered David from Goliath because he trusted in the Lord. He delivered Samson from the hands of the Philistines because he prayed. He delivered Peter from the hands of Herod because they prayed for Peter. He delivered our Lord Jesus from death. Well, he delivered him unto death for you and for me. Why? He prayed, not my will, but your will be done. Because if you pray, God has promised he will hear us. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, he says, I will hear from heaven. I will hear from heaven. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. He said, call me up. And I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. The Lord Jesus said, hey, you haven't prayed in my name, but pray in my name. Pray in my name. And if you pray in my name, not just in Jesus' name, but in his will, if you pray in my will, he says, listen, I will do it. Whatever you ask, whatever you ask, I will do it. And I invite you, my brothers and my sisters, to try God. Put the real vac on his shoulder and say, hey, look, knock it off. He said, try me and see if I won't do it for you. And I've been too long, but God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would bless your word to each listening heart. We're so grateful and thankful for everything that you have done for us. We thank you for what you're doing for us right now. I ask you to encourage the hearts of your people. Encourage the hearts of your people. I pray that they will trust your word. And I pray, Father God, that you would answer their prayers concerning loved ones, concerning their own lives, concerning the lives of others in their lives. Bless us and make us a blessing. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.